Marty Lurie here. Are you ready for Giants baseball? It's the weekend, another gorgeous weekend for San Francisco. Giants and Cards coming up. We're joined by our philosopher, Tony Watson. Well, I'll tell you something. The season is just flying by. You just played 20 games in 20 days. What was that like now that it's over? Giants went 11-9.
Yeah, well, first, it's great to be back, Marty. It's a beautiful day here in San Francisco, and the 20 in a row is over. We get to spend the 4th with our families and enjoy the holiday. But, yeah, that was a long stretch. Looking back, we were talking about it in the clubhouse in San Diego the last off day. The Warriors were playing Game 6 of the finals, so it seems like it was a couple months ago. But it goes fast, like you said. And, you know, we're already 3 games away from the break here and into the second half, so it's gone really fast.
What do you learn? We learn something every day. You know that. What did you learn on this 20 games in 20 days, just for you personally?
It's just the same thing as always. You know, you got to be consistent in your daily routine and your approach and your process. And, these things, they stack up on you. These games, they do. And, you know, when you're playing 3 weeks straight, there's going to be some good, there's going to be some bad. But, you know, you just got to, keep fighting and scratching and clawing and win the night. And, worry about tomorrow the next day. And then before you know it, you'll look up and there'll be an off day and you'll be heading into the break here in a couple of days. So, you know, hopefully we've been playing really well. The guys made a great series at San Diego, our first sweep of the year, and having a lot of fun. The dugout's been a lot of fun. The clubhouse has been a lot of fun. So it's fun to see everybody coming together, and hopefully we can finish this weekend off versus the Cardinals here and go into the break on a positive note.
What are you going to do over the break?
You know, I'm going to relax a little bit. I think we're going to go up to Tahoe. I've never been up there, so take the kids up there and relax, and hopefully we don't get into too much trouble, but we'll have a lot of fun up there and relax for sure.
Yeah, no, Tahoe's beautiful. A lot of people do that for the All-Star break. All right, our philosopher is with us, Tony Watson. It's interesting. He scored a lot of runs in San Diego, and Longoria went out of his mind here. Welcome to the big leagues, 2019, Evan Longoria. But it's interesting to watch the dugout. It seems like you got chants going all the time now. Well, what's cooking in the dugout when the guys come in? It's not just the Dickerson chant.
Oh, yeah. This is a great group of guys. This has been a fun group the whole year. It's been a really positive group. You know, there's a good mesh of veteran guys in here that you flip over the backs of their baseball cards, they've done a lot of stuff in this game. So I think everybody's just enjoying it, having a lot of fun. And, you know, when Longo's hitting balls off the brick building out there in San Diego, I mean, you can't help but have a lot of fun and smile. And it's contagious. I mean, everybody wants to go out there and, you know, you see guys like Longo and Buster and Belt, they're getting big hits. And you want to go out there and you want to follow suit. So it doesn't, not just in the batter's box either. I mean, you go out on the mound, you want to go out there and you get your scoreless inning and get back in the dugout and win these games, because we got something good going on right now, and I think everybody can see that we're having a lot of fun too.
So my question is a Dickerson chant for everybody now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's got, everybody's got their own personal chance. I'm not a full-time dugout guy. I'm a dugout member at home because we don't have the bullpens. But so I'm not in on all the chants yet, but I partake definitely when we're at home, and we have a lot of fun. I mean, that's one of the fun things about San Francisco is that the bullpen's never here, so you're in the dugout and, got all 25 guys in there enjoying it. I always enjoyed it on the road because you never get that chance. So you get 3 or 4 days, the position players want you out of there, but it's a lot of fun when you're on the home side because everybody embraces each other and, it's big family and we're having a lot of fun.
All right. Our philosopher, Tony Watson, I like that. I forget, you're right. You're in the dugout. Yeah. You're in the dugout at home, and on the road, you're way out there in the outfield. All right. We'll see what next year looks like. You got to see baseball in London. I don't know. First inning, it was 6-6. And as I said, Rick Porcello flew 6,000 miles to get one out.
Yeah, that was tough. I didn't see the first inning for either team, but I saw the score, and it looked like the ball was flying. They had talked about it before, that the center field was 385, and the dimensions were a little quirky, and looked like the backstop was right on top of home plate. And but they went over there, and they did it. Looks like they had a great crowd, but man, what was the first score? 17-14, something like that. 17-13. So they missed the extra point, went for two, I guess. But it was, high scoring. I don't know. They said the Yankees Red Sox always take forever, but that was one of the longest Yankees Red Sox games in history. So you know, they got their money's worth, I guess, going over there with the fans. And you know, but it's that first game was a little wild, and the second game looked like it got a little crazy too. But you know, two games, looks like they had 2 days off over there, a little ambassador stuff and going out in the city in London and promoting the game, so that was great. But you know, it was cool. It was cool to see the, on the TV watching those, that early game on Sunday, and you know, seeing them put up the runs they did. It'll be interesting to see next year's game, the Cubs Cardinals, who, you know, how the game compares to that, because that might have just been the Yankees. I mean, that's, they've got a pretty good, pretty formidable lineup going right now, and they're putting up a lot of runs, so it might not have been just the ballpark. But you know, it was I thought it was cool to see, and I'm sure those guys are glad they went, but I'm sure they're glad to be back in the States too.
Boy, I'll tell you, what a weekend of baseball. I guess they're selling runs. That's what they want to sell, and they certainly got it done there. They sold a lot of shirts and hats, I'll tell you that as well. I heard that. Hey, are you following the women's soccer?
I follow, yeah. I saw they're in the finals. I'm going to be honest, I couldn't tell you much about it, but, you know, watched a few games, and not wire to wire, but, you know, flipping through the channels, you see they're on. It's one good thing about the West Coast that nobody really talks about is you get all the sports because they're always on in the morning. So if you're a sports fan, the West Coast is the place to be. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun to see them. And, you know, the other semifinal looked like it went into, like, 120th minute or something. So maybe they won't have their legs and the U.S. can run away with it at the finals. But, yeah, they're pretty much the top dogs here in soccer, so it'll be a lot of fun to watch them in the finals.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's international stuff, and I don't know, it's just fun. It's excitement. People get behind it. I like it. Home Run Derby All-Star Game coming up this week. So your thoughts. Are you a Home Run Derby guy, or are you the All-Star Game guy?
You know, I used to love the Home Run Derby, and then it kind of got away from me just because seems like it takes forever. But this year it looks like they're putting a little more money on the table. I think the winner gets $1 million. So you look across the board at some of these guys, I think Vlad Jr.'s in there, Pete Alonso, Josh Bell, not too many. Yeah, Yelich, Bellinger. I mean, these guys, $1 million, they're looking to double their yearly salary if they win this thing. So they got a lot on the line. So I think it'll be a good entertainment. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I see guys talk about the videos of Vlad Jr. practicing and Pete Alonso practicing, and you know, that video of Vlad Jr. practicing in an empty Toronto Sky Dome, I mean, that was pretty loud, so it'll be a lot of fun to watch him. You know, hopefully they put on a show for everybody, and the game's always entertaining, I think, too, and to see the stars of the game and the best of the best out there representing our game is it's a lot of fun to watch them.
Have you been an All-Star? I never asked you that.
I have, yeah. 2014 I was.
So what was it like?
It was surreal. I mean, you know, I got voted in as a non-closing reliever, which was really hard to do. I didn't think I had a shot. I think I got lucky that Mike Matheny was the manager, so he saw me in the division a lot. And but, yeah, it was a lot of fun. First time I met Bum and Hunter Pence, they were my locker partners there. So it was, you know, it's cool. You're in the clubhouse with all the guys that, like I said, are the best of the best, and you get to pick their brains for a couple days and then go on your way. But, you know, it's a lot going on. It's a busy couple days, and but I'm really glad that I got to be able to chance to say that I was an All-Star one time. And, you know, it was really a lot of fun. But biggest thing for me was it was Derek Jeter's last All-Star game, so he got his send-off, and I thought that was really, really cool. And, you know, but I was telling Smitty he's going to have a lot of fun in Cleveland this week. And, you know, it goes really fast, but there's a lot going on. But he'll have a lot of fun, a lot of memories for sure.
Now, the game doesn't mean anything now. So I say, do whatever you want. They want to put in pinch runners, put them back in the game, do the bullpen thing where you walk a guy intentionally, you have to face the bears. Whatever you want. Who cares? Have fun. I'd say the game, just make it whatever you want to make it.
Yeah, but I'm with you, but I'd like to see, you know, you don't want to be a five-hour game out there. You want it to be entertaining enough for the fans are still engaged, and I think one of the toughest jobs is for those managers to make sure they get each guy in and you know, try to cycle through the roster to make sure everybody gets a shot to get in there. But it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds this year, but like I said, with the home run derby, with the money on the line, I think that'll be the night before will be pretty interesting to watch.
Yeah. $1 million still move the needle, I guess, for guys making $550,000, I guess.
Come on, $1 million? That's you moving the needle. Let's be honest. Yeah, I mean, you're out there. It's a lot. I think what they're on the timer, and they can't start until the ball lands and everything. But, you know, if somebody puts on a show, I mean, I remember when Josh Hamilton hit all those home runs in Yankee Stadium. What was that, probably 12 years ago now? But, you know, that was – people still talk about that. So hopefully somebody like that will happen this year, and, you know, it'll be a lot of fun to talk about.
All right. All right. $1 million still moves the needle. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it. All right. Now, Tony Watson, of course, with us. Love talking some life in baseball with him. We've got things happening in baseball all the time. Joe Maddon, over the last couple of days, is upset. Pittsburgh Pirates have a reputation throwing inside. He's pointing at Clint Hurdle and all that. So, you're a Pittsburgh Pirate. What do they teach you?
I can't do the organizational philosophy stuff. I won't go down that road, but I do know what it is. But, you know, I think pitching in is a big part of pitching. And, you know, you got guys selling out to one half of the plate and eliminating the other side because guys are afraid to go in there. I mean, you come in, there's certain guys that probably shouldn't be going in there just based off their skill level and, you know, not being able to, you know, once you get up around the head, I mean, let's be honest, that's a danger zone. And but I think pitching in, I'm a big advocate of pitching in and pitching to both sides of the plate and not just pitching in once. You got to double up and you got to triple up it. You got to show that you can throw in there for strikes and balls and get them off the plate and let them know that's, you know, I'm on one side of the plate and you can't dive out over on this. So, you know, if you could open up both sides of the plate, it just opens up everything, and the hitters, you know, can't be as selective and eliminate the one side. So, look, it's also that time of year where everybody's playing divisional opponents, and we're getting the races are trying to separate themselves and who's in, who's out, and you know, teams are trying to get an edge any way they can, and some teams are probably just sick of others too. But it's just that time of year. We just played 20 games in 20 days. Some guys are tired, and you get a day game like that. I'm sure it was really hot and humid, and people were pissed off and agitated, and you don't want to be get hit in the head or hit in the hands. And you know, that's just baseball. It's just the way it goes throughout the whole course of a season. And I don't know if there'll be anything coming back their way, but you know, that's not the last time they play each other either. So, but yeah, that's just part of the heated races and divisions. And you know, when you play some team so many times a year, you know, you play your division guys 18, 19 times a year. You keep getting pounded in with fastballs, and you know, frankly, you just kind of get sick of it. So, I think it's good. I think it's great that you know, there's some entertainment like that, and the fans enjoy it, and something to talk about. But you know, they'll go out between the lines and they'll settle it the right way for sure.
All right, very well spoken. He's married to a lawyer. All right, you did a good job. All right, I get it. I talked to Charlie Morton. He hit more people than anyone in the world as a Pirate. I remember telling him, and I said, "Does it ever bother you?" He says, "Look, I got a pitch inside."
Yeah, Charlie. I know Charlie really well, and that was it is what it is. That's what we did, and you know, right. We were big on throwing in, and sometimes, you know, hands get in the way, fingers get in the way, you know, sometimes hamstrings and butts get in the way. So it's you know, it's a game of baseball, and it's, if the ribs get in the way, that's probably on purpose. So you know, sometimes that happens too, and that's what you got to do. But you know, anytime you start getting up by the head, I can see where the Cubs are coming from. Like, David Bodie got hit in the head, and you know, that's scary. And you need guys down the stretch. You want everybody healthy, and you don't want anybody going out by getting hit in the head. So I understand where they're coming from too.
All right, great answer. No, I appreciate your candor, and I know the fans do too. Pilar, he got hit. How about that?
That was a great rally start. One of the best rally starters I've ever seen. I don't really know what was going on there. He asked for time, wasn't granted the time, and it was the pitcher lobbed it in his direction and it just it hit him. And it was interesting. Got us a rally going. I think it was Slater came up next and popped one in the gap. And you know, next thing you know, Pablo hits that that big RBI double to center that we got lost in the sky. And you know, we were off and running. So it was a great rally starter and you know, something you don't see every day. But you know, we'll take it for sure.
Ever bug you when a hitter, you're sort of ready to pitch and all of a sudden he calls timeout? I remember the A's did this to disrupt rhythm. I remember that in the 2000s. They would step out just at the right moment. Bother a pitcher?
You know, no, I don't get bothered by it. I mean, pitching is all about upsetting timing and you know, hitters, you know, we're trying to upset their timing and rhythm, and they're trying to upset our timing and pace. And it's, you know, it's just a give a little to get a little. And sometimes I feel like if a hitter calls time on me right away, you know, maybe he's second-guessing himself in the box of what his approach is, or he didn't like the pitch before and he's still thinking about it, or, you know, something like that. And or maybe he just didn't like the toe hold he was in, or he didn't like how his pine tar was feeling on his gloves. I mean, I don't know what those guys are thinking all the time, but it could be something little as that. But, you know, it's all about comfort. And if, you know, guys aren't comfortable, I guess they got to call time. But, you know, the guys that are walking through the grass and taking forever, I don't think anybody likes those guys. They need to get in the box and get it going. And, you know, after a while, I mean, you know, catchers or the umpire will say something to them to get them going. But, you know, as a pitcher, I try to get it and go and get back on the rubber as fast as I can. And, you know, sometimes it's a little too fast for the hitter, and I understand that. But that just tells me that I'm working quick and trying to be as efficient and quick as possible.
All right. I love it. It's good baseball today. We're talking some good baseball today, some pitching baseball. All right. Let's go to the lighter side of life a little bit. Favorite baseball movie for you? If you had a, you know, one you could watch 1,000 times, what would it be?
That's tough. I was a big Sandlot guy growing up. Love that movie. Field of Dreams, always special for me just because I was from Iowa and felt like I could relate to that a little bit with the cornfield. And that field is almost looks like my high school field just because of the corn surrounding it. But yeah, it's you know, that's a
corn around here.
Absolutely, those are that's a real picture. If you think about some of those small town rural high school fields in Iowa, I mean, there's you know down in San Diego you got Point Loma with the ocean in the background. Well, in Iowa we got the cornfield in the background, so it's a little different. But that's very real. But the one I really like a lot is For the Love of the Game. Kevin Costner, I always thought that was really cool. And you know, just the flashback as he's pitching, and now that you're in the major leagues and thinking about all the life that he's talking about as he's going through the movie, it's they did a really nice job with that movie. So you know, it's something that I can relate to, and really like that movie a lot.
I like it. I think The Natural for me, yeah. I like that a lot. And Field of Dreams was always special for me too. It brought back a lot of memories.
Yeah,
good movies. Good time of year for baseball movies too.
Absolutely.
To watch them. Think again the lighter side of minor league entertainment. And I know guys go on rehabs. I don't know if you've ever been on a rehab. I hope not. But you get down in the minor leagues and see these entertainment things that they do. Do you have one that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't, knock on wood, I haven't done any rehab, so I haven't been to the minor leagues in a few years. But rest in peace, the guy that, Myron Noodleman, he was an entertainer. He passed away a couple years ago, but he'd come through, and you ask any guy about Myron Noodleman and coming through it, he had his little skit, and he had the nerd glasses on and the spiked hair like Alfalfa, and he did his squeaky eyebrows, and he had his bow tie, and he'd throw stuff, and he had a nice skit, and it was funny. He entertained everybody, and you know, unfortunately, he passed away a couple years ago. I don't know if the skit has lived on, but you know, every time he'd come in town, it was a lot of fun. And and then, was it the Superstars, the inflatable animals? They had Clammy Sosa and other ones. I can't even remember all their names now, but they were always entertaining. Kids loved it, and they were funny. They had a good time with it, but always good. I mean, the minor leagues, they have great. There's skits all over. The dog, the Bat Boy dog, that's funny. That's always a good time. And but yeah, it's great family entertainment and family atmosphere. So anytime those people would come in town, it was always a lot of entertainment, a lot of fun.
Could we have a beer batter in the big leagues?
Yeah, I mean, if it puts people in the seats, I mean, you got to think about it, right? I guess so. It's that'd be interesting to see, but hopefully the entertainment would just be coming to watch the Giants win a game. That'd be nice too.
Yeah, believe me, it helps quite a bit. It helps me on the weekend. Yeah. Just when Saturday and Sunday, I'd like that once in a while. Boy, a lot of good things this time of year. A lot have happened in baseball. The walk-off walk. Five walks in a row for Arizona, and Holland had four of them, and McFarland had the last one. Look, you've been out on the mound, and I'm going to ask you about relief pitching varying from year to year, but how about watching something like that? What do you think?
It's hard. It was hard to watch. It's tough. You feel for those guys just because, you don't want to walk guys, especially as a reliever, and to walk four in a row. They had two outs, nobody on, and they're up one, and you're thinking, all right, I execute a couple pitches here, we can go home and, have a nice win here. But, it looked like it got away from Greg Holland there a little bit, and it's unfortunate. It's if you're the Dodgers, you're loving it because you're winning games, but watching from afar, it's tough, especially as a reliever, just because you don't want to ever walk or get yourself in that situation. And it looked like at some point it becomes mental too, and you don't out there. They always say don't walk this guy, and you end up walking that guy. Don't walk this guy, you end up walking that guy. Don't throw a ball, you throw a ball. It's a fickle line, but we watched it. I saw it. Our game was just in it, and I was curious. I was talking to Stephen Vogt about, do you think that's the first time that's ever happened? And it was. It was all this crazy stuff that happens in baseball, and there's something that you've never seen or might not ever see again. But unfortunate for the Diamondbacks, but hopefully. Knock on wood, it never happens over here.
No. Oh, my goodness. Crazy. You see something different every day, but we know that. All right. Last serious question for you. Relief pitching varies from year to year quite a bit. You've been consistent, although you've had your moments maybe from year to year, but you see it a lot with relief pitchers. Why is that?
I'm not sure. There's a lot of it might be health. It takes a lot of luck to stay healthy and go out there and pitch 60, 70 times a year. Look at appearances, the guys that throw, maybe 70, 75 times a year. Look at the next year to see if they come back. There's a lot of variables that go into it, but, depends on how many guys, how many times a game are you getting up and not getting in the game, or the year before, how many times did you get up and not get in? They all add up. That's why you got to take care of your body. You got to take care of your mind, and you got to, like you said, just try to be consistent as you can. Because try to post up. I always, some people talk about the best ability is availability. So you're trying to be available for the skipper every night as much as you can. And I think sometimes you got to be honest, and it doesn't always help the team out because you can't make yourself available. But if you're not right, if you're not 100%, and you're out there in the high leverage innings, and you're giving it up, you're actually hurting the team. So sometimes pride gets in the way, and you try to push yourself a little bit too much. But there's a lot of variables that go into it, and I think that's why you can't really ride the emotional roller coaster that comes with being a major league bullpen piece. There's going to be really good nights. There's going to be really bad nights. But you just got to figure out a way to stay even keel and stay the same guy every night. And, they always said you might be the hero one night and the goat the next. So, just don't live in the past. Don't live in the future. Just live in the today. And it's all cliche, I know. But, that's what works for relievers. And, we're got to be on deck every day and ready to go. And, some days it just doesn't work out. Some days these guys are paid a lot of money to hit the ball, too. So you got to tip your cap. You execute pitches. Sometimes they find holes. But more often than not, if you trust in yourself and believe in yourself and go out there and trust your preparation and your work, work, that, you know, good things are going to happen.
Yeah, I think you answered it in the beginning, truthfully, and that's usage.
Yeah.
I think the usage of 70 times a year varies from year to year, and I think there's a carryover effect. We've seen it from the playoffs and World Series, the carryover effect. But it is real, but you'd want to be consistent, and I think you nailed that. All right, our favorite part. All right, if this player was someone other than a baseball player, who would he be? Johnny Cueto.
Johnny Cueto. Wow, that's a good one. He has the Instagram going, and he shows off his horses down there in the Dominican. So I could see Johnny being a horse trainer. Maybe he has a nice stable of horses down there. He's got. I'm gonna take it back. Johnny's gonna be the mayor of whatever city he's living in down there. You see the speaker truck that he pulls up, and he pulls into the town square, and he starts a party there, or he's riding the horses around, and everybody's talking to him, and he's got the horse with the speaker on it. I don't know if you guys have seen that one, but that's always an entertaining one. But this guy, he's a man of the people, so always entertaining, and I can see that for sure.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I'm going to have him having a portrait studio, and for weddings, he would come and take pictures.
Okay. He'd be the most electric wedding photographer that you'd ever see, but he could just parlay that into like a DJ too. So he'd have his DJ business and photographer business, and yeah, that'd be nice for people that are looking for weddings. It's an all in one package.
Excitement! I could see this happening. All right, I like this. All right, Alex Dickerson, a new man.
That's tough because Dick's quiet. He's a new guy to our team, and I could see him. I could see him coaching. He'd be a good coach, and he's good with the preparation and hitting and stuff like that. So I could see him being a hitting coach.
Well, his father was a Top Gun pilot, and his grandfather was a pilot in World War II as well. So for me, he looks like a punch the clock kind of guy. I'm going to put him in an oil field working on a derrick.
Well, you've really done your homework. I just need to get to know my teammates a little better, clearly, because I didn't know any of that about his father or his grandfather. But, yeah, that's great. I mean, that's great. I'm going to have to ask him about the stories on that. But, yeah, punch the clock guy for sure. I could see that. He's here every day early working. And so, yeah, he works hard, and he'd be out there working hard for sure. Nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm putting the hard hat on him in an oil derrick.
Yeah.
All right. How about Trevor Gott? How about that? I'd be interested to see what you think of him.
I got Gott being a beach lifeguard and like maybe on the panhandle of Florida or maybe down in like Newport. I could see him down there. Like the whole Baywatch thing.
Yeah.
That'd be Gott for sure.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking with you on this one. I was going to have him working in the amusement park on the boardwalk, and he would be telling a kid you're too short.
Yeah.
You can't go on the Cyclone or something like that.
Very ironic that he would be telling that to somebody, but I could see that for sure. He'd be the one that making my kids cry on the, your daughter's tall enough, but your son's not. Those are the worst guys.
Very good. Very good. Well, enjoy the break. You deserve it. And it's going to be an interesting month, I have a feeling.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Marty.
All right. That's Tony Watson, our philosopher. More coming up right after this.